As you write your life story, you're far from finished. Are you looking to close the book on your job? Maybe turn a page in your career? Be continued at the Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies. Our professional master's degrees and certificates are designed to meet you where you are and take you where you want to go. At Georgetown SCS, the learning never stops, and neither do you. Write your next chapter. Be continued at scs.georgetown.edu/podcast.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Quick trigger warning, if you are somebody who has an active eating disorder or you are sensitive to information about calories and macronutrients, then you definitely want to turn off this episode because we go into some of those details.
Hi, I'm Wendy.
And I'm Jess, and you're listening to the Food Heaven Podcast,
your online resource for inclusive and accessible wellness.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Ding dong. Happy December, everybody. We are here, back at it again.
Back at it again.
What? What was that?
I'm sorry.
To be the bullhorn?
No, that's, I don't even listen to Call Her Daddy. That's like the most famous podcast ever. I know you haven't heard of it.
Nope. Yeah. I haven't.
We talked about it on the podcast before.
Okay, but, girl, you know the way my memory is.
I know. But basically, there was all this drama. There were two hosts, and then they kind of went behind one of the hosts back and then like kicked her out of the podcast. But that scandal, I feel like, is what elevated them, because that's when it hit like the YouTube and the blogs. Anyways, so the girl who does the podcast, she starts it like,
back at it again.
Oh.
Okay, guys, let's focus. So it's December, and Wendy, I'm wondering, do you have any favorite holiday movies that you have watched growing up?
It is December, and all I'm thinking about is Mariah Carey's Christmas album.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. I'm so talented.
Mariah.
Love her. Did you read her book, by the way?
I did, and I loved it. And you have to do the audiobook.
Oh, I think actually you told me about it. And then I started listening to it, but I never finished it. There's so much tea in that book.
It's like a kettle. It's much
beyond.
Tea. Yeah, it's beyond. It's so good. Like, that should be your Christmas listening, is her, because you have to hear her do it, because she like sings in between like every line. She's like,
right. Okay, so holiday movie, not holiday album. Home Alone is a go-to, especially being in New York. I loved Home Alone, and they had so many different parts to it. It was like Home Alone 1, Home Alone 99. There were like just so many versions. So yeah, that was my go-to.
My favorite holiday movie, Home Alone is a good one. And I honestly just love the Netflix when they have the corniest, cheesiest, most horrible holiday movies out. I watch all of them, and they're so bad that they're good. So that's like the highlight of December for me.
But wait, which movie were you watching growing up? Like, what was the go-to?
I forget what it's called. There was one. I feel like, I can't remember the name. It was like A Christmas Story or something. It's one where
I love that one.
Yeah, like they keep remaking it. Like there's an old one, and then there's like a new one, and then a newer one. I think it's A Christmas Story.
I love A Christmas Story.
It's a good one. So good. All right, well, we are in part two of our Nutrition Essentials series. And today, from the title, you probably realize that we are talking about healthy eating, and what does that even mean anymore? People throw around this term healthy eating all the time, and especially with Instagram. My friend today like sent me that one of the Love is Blind cast members from season 2 is now an Instagram like healthy eating influencer. It's like, why are you?
Yes. Which one?
The one where the girl would dance on the tables and wear the costumes. I don't know his name.
He's a wellness.
Well, he was like doing a video of like, here's how to make your own ketchup and da 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 da. And it doesn't have any of that horrible processed stuff. And I was like, I can't. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like everybody is a healthy eating influencer. So it's become so warped and confusion and vagueness. And I feel like people don't even know what that means anymore. So we are here to provide some clarity from our perspective. It's one perspective as dietitians, and also some practical information about how you can eat healthier, because it feels like there's just so much missing from this healthy eating conversation online.
And side note, I just wanted to say, I think they got divorced.
They
did. With Love is Blind, yeah, I think that at this point, we're three seasons in, and I think we've all realized that it just doesn't work.
No.
There's only been, I think, one couple where, you know, things seem to be going all right, and they're making a hell of a lot of money from their relationship. Yep. And that's Lauren and what's his face?
Cameron.
What's his name? And Cameron.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think
it's
there's
not
two couples,
guys.
The Barnett and the other woman
oh,
as well.
Oh, that's right. And Amber. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they seem to be hot and cold. But the thing too with Cameron is like, I feel like he would make it work with anybody. I feel like it's Cameron. And just kind of like, it's almost like Twilight, where they would like imprint, if I'm remembering correctly, like I read all the books. I feel like they would like imprint on someone and then be like obsessed with them. And then it's like they have to like have, quote, have that person. I feel like that's Cameron. Also, I have a theory with redheaded white men. They love black women.
Well, he loves him some black women. That's
point blank,
sure.
Period. Like,
I mean,
DM us if you've noticed
straight
this.
Straight up, he started rapping on the show.
Yes.
It was a lot. But I mean, all these relationships are a train wreck. I'm on season three and I'm just like, child, what in the world?
Listen,
why?
Why?
Anyways.
Why? Okay, anyways,
healthy eating.
So, podcast review. If you listen to this pod, you know the drill. We always like to read a listener review, and they're all so good. You guys are the nicest podcast audience I've ever encountered in my life. I'm always reading reviews, and I've never seen a podcast where people are so friendly in the reviews. Knock on wood. Let's keep that going. I just like scroll looking for something negative. I think the most negative thing we got two kind of negative, and one was that we talk too fast or something.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. But I mean, what can you do?
Right.
Listen to it on half speed.
Es lo que es.
Es lo que es. So this review is from I love something. I can't read. And they say, thank you, Wendy and Jess, for all the conversations you share with us listeners. I find them all important and insightful. As a 3-year listener, the topics discussed on the Food Heaven podcast have been instrumental to my wellness journey and helped me truly understand what health looks like for me, whatever size I may be. Every episode is a home run. Infinite gratitude for Wendy and Jess. Les quiero mucho. Three
Aww.
Hearts. Thank you. That's so sweet. And
so sweet.
It's nice to hear when people put in the reviews, because a lot of you guys do. You'll say like, longtime listener, 3-year listener, 5-year listener, 7-year listener. And it's just amazing because our audience, you guys, have been really stable throughout the years. Like, people who rock with us have been rocking with us for a long time. And I love the newbies too, who come in and they kind of go through the archives. So you're all welcome here. This week, we also have an amazing giveaway for you all. This is something that my clients love getting, and it is my 100 mix and match gentle nutrition meal and snack ideas guide. It's 18 pages. It includes meals and snacks from different cultures. And I always tell people, if you see something that is a staple in your culture that is not on this guide, DM us and let us know. But it's beautiful. There's pictures. There's so much stuff. And if you want to get your hands on a free copy, listen till the end of the episode and we'll tell you how to enter to get this. And everybody who enters gets the copy.
This week's podcast partner is literally one of my favorite snacks. And I am staring at the container right now because I literally have it placed on my desk so that I don't forget, because, you know, sometimes when I'm in the midst of working, I'm like, wait a minute, I forget to snack. It's California prunes. They are great for gut health. I feel like that's what they're known for. But did you know that they also help with bone health and heart health too? They taste so good, and they're going to become your new pantry essential. When you're in between meals and you want a pick-me-up, prunes are such a great option. They provide you with a boost of energy. They have dietary fiber plus nutrients that support good gut health. They have potassium that supports heart health, vitamin K, copper, and other antioxidants to support healthy bones. They're also a really great ingredient for baking and cooking. I've actually made a prune crumble, and it came out so beautiful. You can have them with cheese. You can put them on your charcuterie board. The options are literally endless. I think the baking is really cool because they go well with flavors like chocolate, caramel, cinnamon, especially as the holidays are approaching. It's a really good flavor combination. I usually have a handful of prunes. One serving is 4 to 6 prunes. And I love that you can just grab and snack. It's not like you have to prepare anything. They're pretty much ready to enjoy out of the container. If you go to californiaprunes.org, you'll find more information and great recipes that feature prunes. I've been on the website. They have everything from pecan sticky buns. Yes, it looks incredible. To chocolate cake, braised ribs, smoothies. I mean, the website has really, really creative recipes. So make sure that you check that out. And we're going to hop back into our episode. Well, that is actually the perfect segue into talking about what healthy eating is, because you mentioned how there's foods from different cultures, there's different variety of foods that are offered. And so with healthy eating, I think there's a few things that are really important to keep in mind. The first thing is healthy eating is individual. It's based on your needs, your culture, what you have access to. Also, your medical history is really important because everyone has their own set of issues, especially as people get older, things start coming up. And so you see the next person eating a certain kind of way, and especially these wellness influencers online, and you're like, wow, that seems to really be working for them. Their skin is glowing. Their hair is full. Let me try that. It doesn't translate because you have your own set of genetics. You have your needs. Like, for example, me living in the Bronx in my neighborhood, even for me as a dietitian, I don't have access to a lot of the foods that Jess has in California. And so, yeah, you know, like coming up with recipes where some of these ingredients are like very accessible for some people, it might not translate to others. And so it's really important to assess the whole situation. Maybe you have a very weak bladder and drinking 12 cups of water a day for healthy skin is not really so healthy for you. Mm-hmm. I'm just going off of like some of these random claims that I see online. And I'm just like, well, that doesn't really translate. Maybe for you, you'll do better on 6 cups of water in the day. You know, it's just like, it's so, so different. And the culture piece, I think, is so important because we've seen this all the time where certain diets are promoted as being superior than others, i.e. the Mediterranean diet. That's like one of the top ones compared to, like, I don't know, let's say a West African diet or a Caribbean diet or a Mexican diet. And so it's really important to highlight foods that you grow up eating that are from your culture so that you feel connected to those foods. And the great thing is that there's so many healthy foods from all cultures. Like, you will probably find fruits and vegetables in any culture of the world. You will probably find some rendition of whole grains in any culture of the world. It's just going to look a little bit different depending on where you're from. And so, you know, I think that that's a really cool way to approach it. I think it's way more exciting that way because you get to come up with your own blueprint for what healthy eating looks like for you.
Yeah. And I also think that the cultural foods are typically healthier in general, because whenever I go to a country and they start adding a lot more like Western foods or Westernized diet or our fast food, it almost like degrades the quality of the natural diet there. Like I'm thinking of Puerto Rico and, you know, having like McDonald's here and there. So we often look at these kind of Western or like white diets as being superior, but really just sticking to the foods that are unique and native to your culture is going to go a long way.
Yeah. Something that I hear a lot when talking with people who are from the Caribbean, they automatically associate their cultural foods with it not being healthy. They're like, well, you know, I'm Dominican, so you know what that means. It's like, it's a lot of meat. It's a lot of, you know, and meat is like glorified, I think, in a lot of cultures. But also, I like to open up a conversation about like, okay, well, what about root vegetables? What about things like eggplant and okra and cauliflower and carrot, like all of the other foods? But I think oftentimes like meat overshadows things and people associate that with, you know, it just like not being a healthy cultural cuisine. And so it's like, well, how can we incorporate some of the other foods from your culture to have a little more balance so that the meat is not so dominant on the plate, you know? So There's a lot of ways to do it. And just taking on that individualized approach is so, so, so important. Also, having flexibility is key to healthy eating. There's no need to go all the way left with it. Like Jess and I say this all the time, where people go all the way left and then they go all the way right. Because it's like, oh my
God. It's a pendulum. It's like they swing from one extreme to the other, but you want to kind of stay more in the middle.
Yeah. And going all the way left is not going to make the diet or the approach that you're taking on more effective. It's going to be more likely that you're going to swing the other way and you're going to start having all of these intense cravings for the foods that you're restricting. So unless you have a legit food allergy or sensitivity, and I say legit because we've spoken about this before, where there's a lot of like fear created around certain foods like gluten, for example, and you might actually be digesting them just fine. But in your mind, you're like, oh, well, maybe I'm not because I'm reading all this information that's telling me that it's harder to digest this food when in fact you're not having any issues with it. So if you actually do have like a food allergy or sensitivity, then of course, you know, you want to take that into account when planning your meals. But really, there should be room for all foods, even foods that aren't considered to be as healthy. It's all about how do you incorporate it in a way that works for you, where you feel good physically and mentally. You feel like you're still getting that nourishment and you're also making sure that you're getting pleasure from foods as well.
Yeah. I can't tell you the amount of times with the gluten thing. I just went to a new chiropractor and he's sitting up here telling me to stop eating gluten. He's like, well, you got Hashimoto, so you don't, you definitely don't need to be eating gluten. I'm like, first of all, this doesn't sound like part of your scope because You are a chiropractor.
That's funny.
Second of all, like, what is the evidence that you have to suggest this? And third of all, you don't know anything about my history, like what I'm doing. Like, do I have an eating disorder? Like, I just hate these blanket recommendations.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me how other professionals make nutrition recommendations and they have like zero training in nutrition. Doctors do this all the time. They're like, cut this out, do this, do that. And then they'll like send people my way who are like just confused. They're like, well, my doctor told me to do all these things. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I feel horrible for them because then they're just like confused. And they're like, well, they're looking at you. And then they're like, well, the doctor told me one thing. And you know, in the medical field, the doctors are regarded as like the highest of highs when it comes to like authority. So yeah, it's super frustrating. But yeah, another thing that came to mind when thinking about healthy eating is the importance of it being sustainable. Another thing that I see with restrictive diets is that people can't really keep it up for too long. They'll maybe do it for like a couple months. And what I hear all the time is like, oh my God, this diet works so well for me. I lost all this weight. And I'm like, okay. And then what happened? They're like, yeah, I just, you know, I fell off track. And they kind of put the responsibility on themselves instead of assessing how sustainable that diet was for them in the long run, you know? And so all of these like get healthy quick hacks or like, let's completely uproot everything that you're doing. And like, you know, they're usually not very long lasting. You might end up like super stressed and feeling very defeated at the end. And so if this is not something that you see yourself doing in the years to come, I wouldn't even say in the months to come. I would say in the years to come, where you're like, okay, I can maintain some form of this in the long run, then I don't think that that is what healthy eating is going to look like for you.
Yeah. I think that's like probably the most important thing is, can you do this forever? And I mean, not only is it sustainable, like mentally, but financially, because there's so many things where it's like, you got to buy this and that potion and this potion and these
supplements. The chlorophyll.
And, yeah.
The collagen. And
what's the one that's, I can't remember.
The ashwagandha?
No, although that does have research to support it. I was on the Friend Zone podcast with Fran and Dustin and them, and they asked me about a sea moss. And they're like, oh, is sea moss going to cure all? And I was just like, okay, first of all, I'm out of the loop because I don't even know what this is. I don't follow.
I feel like we maybe spoke about this on the podcast before. It's big in the Caribbean.
Oh, is it big in the Caribbean? Yeah, I was like, I'm out of the loop and I don't know what it is. And it's probably not going to fix all your problems. And then we also made sure to not demonize having certain cultural traditions, because, you know, there are people, like you're saying, in the Caribbean, because Fran brought that up, like, yeah, you know, this may be a cultural thing or whatever. And like, if it works for you, it works for you. If you have the money to pay for it, pay for it. But like, my purpose there is to say that like, these things that are touted to like fix everything are probably not going to do that. By the way, another plug for Examine, we always plug them because we love using them. They are a website, and we're not sponsored by them, but they're a website where you can go on there and they do an independent analysis of supplements. So if you're not sure if something does what it says it's going to do, like, you can always plug it into Examine and check and see.
It's just tricky though with things like sea moss, because they're not extensively studied, because there's not much of a financial interest in, you know, promoting things like sea moss, for example, that people are making at home and selling. And so I will say that I think as long as it's not harming you, and, you know, if you've noticed some kind of improvement or, you know, whatever, then it's fine. My friend actually has a sea moss company.
Okay.
And it's funny because she's like, she's given me sea moss. Kim actually started making sea moss. Kim is one of my best friends. And then she started making it at home and she made me a batch. And it's like, I could have probably, you know, whatever, put it in my smoothie and whatever. But I think working in this industry and like just hearing about so many bizarre things when it comes to food and nutrition, I'm kind of like repelled very strongly by these types of things. And I ended up just kind of giving it away. But, you know, my friend who I gave it away, she was like, what? You're giving away sea moss? Like, girl, this is like, you know, it's like magic potion is so expensive. I was like, I think I'm just all right eating my fruits and vegetables. Like, I just, you know, I'm typically open to those things, but I've gotten to a point where I'm just like, when my mom makes me all these things, and I do think there's so much value in that, but I'm also so burned out by like all the information that I'm hearing out there that I'm just like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. Sometimes keeping it simple is the healthiest thing that you can do, and not like going with all these different trends, because it does get really exhausting. And most of the stuff doesn't do anything. I mean, maybe there's the placebo for some things, which that is real. Like, I mean, if you feel like it's making you feel better, like it may actually in turn make you feel a little bit better, but it's not necessarily that the thing is doing anything. We can have a whole episode about the placebo effect, but those are the three things that healthy eating is. It's individualized, it's flexible, and it's sustainable for you. This podcast is brought to you by Philo. It seems like there's a million different streaming services out there today, but I'm going to tell you there's only one that you have to have, and that is Philo. Philo is live and on-demand TV for, get this, just $25 a month. So if you are someone who loves to unwind with your favorite shows, but finds it hard to Get them all in one place without paying an arm and a leg for cable or bumming off of your friends' accounts. Philo has you covered. Their service includes VH1, BET, A&E, AMC, plus 60 other channels like Comedy Central, Nickelodeon for those with the kiddos, Paramount, and Discovery. And if you love your reality TV like me, you know Discovery is gold for all those shows like 90 Day Fiancé. Also, if you're a commitment phobe, get this, there's no contracts, which means no commitments and no hassles. So it's just a better way to watch TV. Philo also offers unlimited DVR for 1 year, so you can save all of your favorite shows and watch them on your own schedule. They also allow for multiple profiles and multiple streams. This is big for me because my family's always fighting over the accounts that we share. So it's nice that you can have up to 3 simultaneous streams. It's also easy to use and easy to set up. And you can watch from your laptop, your phone, your tablet, your TV, all of the things. With Philo, you can start watching in seconds for less money, with less hassle, and the comfort of knowing that your favorite channels are just a click away. Sign up today at philo.tv, that's philo.tv, and use the promo code FOODHEAVEN to get 50% off your first month. All right, now back to the episode. Now we're going to talk about what healthy eating is not, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. So healthy eating is not a diet. And these days, a diet is often called a lifestyle change, but it's still a diet, right? Like, guys, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change.
Right. I can't.
So, examples of diets are keto, intermittent fasting, restrictive eating habits that are usually not sustainable long-term, like we said, and can harm your relationship with food. There's so many more, and it's like, sometimes I even hesitate saying all of them because I know there's probably many listeners who maybe follow certain things. And I always say Evelyn Tribble, who wrote the book Intuitive Eating. I did her intuitive eating training for professionals like some years ago. And she talks about when people are on a diet, it's almost like a religion to them. And you coming in and saying like keto is a diet and potentially harmful, like if that's your religion, then but you're going to get defensive. So I kind of don't always like to name names, but a diet is a diet. You guys know what those are. There are so many new ones all the time, also on Instagram. That is not healthy eating for many reasons. And if you are new to this podcast, like just scroll through the archives, because that's pretty much like the majority of the things we're talking about is the science behind why these diets don't work and are harmful.
Yeah. And it always surprises me that people come to us and they're like, yeah, I've been eating really healthy because I'm doing X diet. It's like these big diety names now are the equivalent of what healthy eating has become in people's eyes. And it's like, oh God, I just be like slapping my forehead. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I know. Because it's not like the individual's fault. And that's the thing too. It's not us. It's just like the culture, the quote diet culture, which is like the system of beliefs that equates like all this healthism and thinness with morality and everything else is bad. And so it's very easy to get swept up in that. I have been swept up in that before, but it's hard because you're using all these external cues to decide what to eat and not actually listening to what works for you. And you may find that you do feel better if you don't eat past like 7 o'clock, because I don't know, like the digestion keeps you up or you get reflux or whatever. But it's like when you're following these like rigid plans that are like imposed by somebody else, like you don't even have room to know what really makes a difference for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Because with intermittent fasting, I'm like, well, one could say that a lot of us are intermittent fasting.
Right.
Yeah. Because we're sleeping, you know, maybe 6 to 8 hours, and then maybe we wait a few hours and then we have breakfast. And it's like, that's just what a lot of people do. But then you start setting these rules and you're like, oh, well, there's no flexibility here. I have to, you know, oh my God, I violated the diet because I had breakfast earlier than I was supposed to. And then it becomes a whole thing where you're like stressed out and you have no room for, you know, doing things a little differently.
Exactly. Or you have family over. Last night I hosted a Love is Blind viewing party and
are you up to date on all the
episodes? Yeah, I'm up to date.
Okay.
Yeah. And I did a whole spread for everyone. And I made, well, heated up a blueberry pie. And so if you're intermittent fasting and it's like you're having this great time with loved ones and it's like 8 o'clock and you have to turn down that pie, it's like, for what? You know what I mean? It just, it's not for me. Just, you know, see what works for you. So healthy eating is not a diet. Healthy eating is also not keeping track of calories, macronutrients, or points. It should not be tied up in stress or fear, because once you have a foundation for what healthy eating looks like, it should not be taking up so much space in your brain. It almost becomes second nature. You may end up eating a diet that is mostly plant-based or plant-forward, or you may end up realizing that for you, it does feel good and help you stay regular to eat vegetables with every meal, right? But like, you are doing that based on trial and error and listening to your body and getting that internal feedback for what actually does work. The last thing that a healthy diet is not is getting it perfect all the time. People who tend to be perfectionists also tend to extend that into food, and they want to control not only food, but oftentimes their weight and shape as well. And I think it's really important to know that it doesn't have to be perfect. It should not be perfect. We're all going to go through transitions. Things are going to come up, and it may be hard to eat in a way that even feels good for you, right? Like, I remember during the pandemic, I was eating TV dinners most days just because I didn't feel like cooking and my mental health like needed that break. So remember that you can be flexible and you don't have to follow this diet or lifestyle plan for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And I know sometimes, like, especially when people are just getting started, it might make sense to have a little more organization when it comes to meals. And so I've seen a lot of people where they're like, okay, well, I'm just like keeping track of like calories and macros to make sure that I'm actually hitting my goals. And that might make sense initially, but it's not something that you have to keep doing over and over again over long periods of time. Because honestly, after doing it for a few days, max, I would say a few weeks, you should kind of get the gist of things. And so I do want to talk about the practicality of it all, because there are some recommendations for how much you should be eating, minimum baseline, because there's a lot of things that influence how much you should be eating, but there are like minimum recommendations. And also there are recommendations for the amounts of different macronutrients that you should be eating too. And so once you have that nutrition education in place, you can create a foundation for planning your meals. So how much should you be eating? We recommend at least 3 complete meals with 3 to 4 food groups. Now, if you're hungry in between those meals, you can add some snacks. But if you're not hungry, you don't have to force snacks. Because I know sometimes, like, I don't know, people push snacks, like, you should have a snack, you should have a snack, have an apple, have peanut butter. And it's like, you don't need to have a snack. I personally, I'm not much of a snacker. Like, if I have 3 complete meals, I really don't need a snack. And honestly, if I'm having a snack, it'll give me reflux. So snacks are not for everyone. Like, it really just depends on what your needs are. Some people find that having smaller meals with less food groups more frequently works for them. And that's totally fine. As long as you have variety in there, you're eating different types of foods throughout the day, then, you know, that's totally fine. I know some people, like, maybe because of stomach issues or like they have really bad reflux, grazing works better because their stomach just can't handle like a lot of food. And so that's totally fine. You know, you just want to make sure that you are having different things. So you're touching on different macronutrients and micronutrients, which, just to clarify, macronutrients are like carbs, fats, protein. Micronutrients are going to be like your vitamins and your minerals.
So when you say 3 food groups, what do you mean? What food groups? In case people don't know.
Carbs, protein, fat.
Great. And if you are confused about what those are, we're going to talk more about them. However, you can also, after this episode, go back to our last episode where we go into detail about carbs, fats, and proteins. Now, oftentimes people will ask us, calories, should they count calories? We already said no. However, many people are not sure if they're even eating enough calories per day. And so we want to give you a baseline place to start and see how you feel. And this is a minimum, not a maximum, just to make sure that you're getting all the nutrients you need. So one thing to consider is the general minimum calorie recommendations for sedentary adults aged 31 to 50 are about 1800 calories for women and 2200 calories for men. Now, this is sedentary, meaning not much movement. If you engage in physical activity, those numbers will increase. So when starting out, you could do some light tracking for a few days to see if you're meeting these minimum needs. And once you have a good flow going, your meals will become easier to plan because you kind of know what you need. Now, we don't recommend calorie counting. The way that I would put this into practice is this. So if you are somebody who is, for example, like looking for a TV dinner meal, I always tell people to look on the back, look at the calories, because oftentimes these meals are trying to be lower in calories and not enough for a meal. And so people will buy them and wonder, why am I still hungry? So I like people to try to make sure each of your meals has at least 500 calories. That way, you know that you're getting closer to what your needs are, versus you'll see these things where it's like 300 calories or some of these shakes, right? It's like 150 calories. It's a meal replacement. No, it's not. That is a snack. Yeah. And you need more.
That always blows my mind when I see those like protein shakes and people are like, yep, I'm having this for breakfast. And then I look at the label and I'm like, girl, 120 calories for breakfast? How are you even surviving?
I know. So it's just like something to pay attention to. Yeah, we often will have like brands reach out where they may do different shakes and things and they'll tell us like, oh yeah, this is a meal replacement. And we're like, no, it ain't. Like if we're going to talk about it, we will talk about it as a snack because that's what it is. So I think it's just important to kind of know what constitutes as a meal.
Yeah. And this also goes for protein powders. Like a common practice that I see a lot is the protein powder mixed with milk and being like, yep, that's my go-to breakfast. It's not enough. Like protein powder with milk is maybe 200 calories. And like just said, at the minimum, a meal should be 500 calories, like period, for any adult. And so you're going to need a few more of those, whatever, protein shakes, which like I can't imagine drinking that much protein shake in the morning. So you might want to like, you might want to have a light meal with the protein shake and that would be a little more balanced.
Yeah, that's what we definitely would recommend.
You should also assess how you feel. I think that that is the best indicator. If you're hungry within an hour of eating, then to me that shows that you're not eating enough. You're going to need a little bit more. If you're waking up and you're ready to eat, you know, three meals in the morning, you're probably not eating enough. If you find, this is a big one, if you find that you are constantly craving carbs, sweets, candy, these are all signs that you haven't eaten enough or that you haven't had enough of different food groups during those previous meals. Because with carbs, especially with sweets, your body is craving instant energy because that's what carbs do. You should, if you haven't listened to our previous episode, make sure you give it a playback because we talk about the importance of carbs and how they work in the body. But if you're depriving yourself of carbs during the day, it makes total sense why you might be having these strong cravings come on, especially during later parts of the day. So just see how you feel. For some people, some of these signs that our body naturally throws our way are off because we might be doing deprivation for a long time. And so sometimes those signs are not reliable. And in that case, it's like you would want to go with the baseline, having three meals, you know, having your body adjust to that. Because some people are just like, they'll be straight up like, I'm just not hungry ever. I don't want to eat. And that's not a good thing. And you want to kind of like train your body to be hungry during different parts of the day. But, you know, for others, which I would say for most people, you know, if you're not eating, you're probably going to start developing some type of hunger. And so you want to just like listen to the messages that your body is sending you.
Yeah. And the thing is that the body craves consistency. So people often think like, oh, with intuitive eating, I am just all over the place. But really, like, you know, you tend to get hungry usually at the same times throughout the day, especially if you're kind of training yourself to eat a breakfast, to eat a lunch, or at least like eat those snacks throughout the day. So it's important to know that it's okay if consistency works well for you, or you need that consistency in the beginning in order to figure out what works well or to get on some kind of routine. When we say consistency, we're not saying rigidity. We're just saying like, okay, I maybe typically will have breakfast between like 8 and 10 in the morning, but if I don't, like, that's fine too.
For sure. So we want to play a game. I'm so excited about this because we actually played this game when we were on the Friend Zone podcast with our girl Fran and her friends. And it's called the My Play game. And so My Play is a model that we use to educate people about how to plan healthy meals. I think it's like one of the easiest way to plan meals before, you know, the food pyramid or whatever it was called. It used to be like the thing for nutrition education. Thank God that's changed, because I feel like it's not practical at all. And it's also very Eurocentric, and people were just like left feeling very confused about how they should be putting their plate together. This is way better. And the easiest way to put it is you plan your plate mostly with non-starchy vegetables. And this is mostly like lunch and dinner, right? Because breakfast, it's a little different. But you plan your plates with mostly vegetables. That could also be salad, any type of vegetable that is non-starchy. And then the rest would be a fourth carbohydrate, a fourth protein. You can add some fats in there. Some of these food groups intersect with each other. For example, the protein might have some fiber, like beans, for example. The carb might have some fat if you're making it with olive oil. You know, like there is some crossing there. But it's just such an easy way to plan meals. You can customize it with your favorite cultural foods. And so, yeah, I think it'll be fun if we do a little game, Jess, where we remix different meals to give people ideas about how this all works.
Take it away.
Okay, so I think what we can do is we'll take turns and I'll throw a food out. Like, for example, I'll tell you lentils, and then you have to plan a plate around that, making sure that it hits all the groups.
Love it.
But it's going to be a fire round, so you got to be on your toes.
Okay.
Yeah. Also for breakfast, I just want to know, because, you know, it could be hard to eat vegetables for breakfast. So there's some flexibility where you can pick 2 to 3 food groups. So maybe you're having eggs with toast and cheese, and there you're hitting a few different food groups. Or if you want to add vegetables to that, like spinach in your omelet, that's fine too. Or maybe it's not savory at all and you have like yogurt with granola, some fruit, etc. So you have a variety of food groups there so that you feel satisfied in the morning and you're getting different nutrients in. All right. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Been waiting for this my whole life.
Oatmeal.
So for oatmeal, I would have the oatmeal is the carb. I would have peanut butter as a fat / protein. And then I love the Trader Joe's frozen cherries, which could be kind of that fruit / vegetable component. I put them in the microwave for like a minute or two, and then they get all melty and I put it on top of the oatmeal. And then to top her off, I might even add some hemp seeds, which will add another tidbit of fat.
Good job, Jess.
Keep you feeling full.
All right. I'm going to give you one more. Bananas.
Okay. That's an easy one. That could be my morning smoothie. So I would have the bananas as a carb/fruit. And then I would have Greek yogurt, which would be protein. Well, actually, okay, some things, guys, are protein, carbs, and fats. So don't get confused, because people are like, wait, that's a carb. That's it. Like many things are all three, but it doesn't matter because we're still going to have a balance of different things. So I would have Greek yogurt as a protein. It also has some carbs in it, but more protein. And I like to do full fat Greek yogurt, so I get some fat in there as well. I would also add some kind of blending liquid agent. I really like either soy milk, which has even more protein, or I love the Ripple pea protein milk. And then I might add more blood sugar stabilizing fat with some kind of nut, like walnuts, which are really creamy and blendable.
Okay. Damn, girl, you went in on that one.
Got
like,
explained.
Let's wrap it up. We're on a time crunch, honey. This is a fire round.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to do one more for you for breakfast.
Okay.
Spinach.
So spinach, I would do an omelet. Ah, talk quick. So I would do eggs, maybe a couple eggs. That would be my protein. Then I would do the spinach, which would be my vegetable. Then I would do some avocado slices on top, which would be my fat. And then I would do a slice or two of sourdough, which would be my carbohydrate.
Period. Love it. Good job, honey. You get A's, A's, A's
yes,
across the
A
board.
Plus. So I'll actually turn the tables and you can do lunch / dinner.
Okay.
Ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Let's say lentils.
Okay. Lentil chili. Lentils are going to be protein, a little bit of carbs. I like to add quinoa in my chili because it adds a little bit of oomph to it. Also carb and protein. We can top that with some avocado and let's just throw some carrots in there. So it has some veggies too.
Yum. Okay. Next is chicken.
Stewed chicken with rice, side of roasted broccoli.
Delish. Let me think of one more. What's like a hard one? Tofu.
Ah, tofu scramble. Tofu scramble. Yum. With some toast and avocado for a savory breakfast.
I feel like that's too similar to mine. Pick something else.
Oh, my. All right. Tofu. We can do a sheet pan tofu recipe where you put some string beans, which are going to have a little bit of protein, vegetables. You can add the tofu on there. And you can either throw some squash on the sheet pan for some carbs, or you can enjoy it with a side of rice or rice noodles. Thank you. Mm. I win.
Yes. Snap. Amazing. Well, I feel like that's it, right? Like this is what healthy eating is. It is pretty basic. There's no bells and whistles, and it's not a potion or supplement that you have to buy. If anyone tells you something differently, run for the hills.
Run for the hills, honey. They're lying.
They're lying.
Are they trying to sell you something?
They really are.
They're sipping that Kool-Aid and they're lost in the sauce.
They're lost in the sauce. All right. Now, we mentioned at the top of the episode that we are doing a giveaway. This is my coveted gentle nutrition mix and match meal planning guide. There's 100 different ideas for meals and snacks. It's colorful. There's pictures. You definitely want it. Like my clients love this guide and everybody who enters gets the guide. So here's what you do. You take a screenshot of this episode and you tag us on Instagram at Food Heaven. Wherever you listen, Spotify, iTunes, it doesn't matter. Screenshot and say something you liked about this episode. That way we know you are entering the giveaway. Then this is how you get the guide. You send us a DM. And remember, we can see if you screenshotted the episode with that DM. Send us a DM that says guide and we will automatically send you this 18-page guide. I love it. And with that, we're out.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of the Food Heaven podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to connect with us online. We're most active on the gram at Food Heaven, but we're also on Facebook and Twitter at Food Heaven Show. If you like this podcast, make sure to rate, review, subscribe, and share with a friend.
Yep, our podcast is released every Wednesday, and each week we take a deep dive into topics like health at every size, food and culture, intuitive eating, mental health, and body acceptance. If you're looking for a sustainable and inclusive path to wellness, come hang out with us to learn how to take care of yourself from the inside out. We'll catch you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.